From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls, on a gloriously sunny day, and my mountains are covered in snow. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia, in the beautiful town of Poprad, and it's stunning here, it's gorgeous. This is Postcard from Poprad, your alternative look at the news, with myself. Plus, this week, still in India, we're expecting him to say something in, whatever language he's been practicing with, Lee Banks.
I've not been practicing in any language. I've got a cold. I've got jelly nose. I tell you.
You're rubbish.
But I tell you what. Are we going to admit to the nation why you are jealous, Mr. Eric?
Later. And in gay Paris, not talking in French because he won't, but there's a reason behind that. It's the co-founder of the consumer action group, Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello there. And actually, I'm not in gay Paris because we're on the family half-term holiday, which means I'm at the in-laws at the base of another set of mountains called the Alps, about 30 miles away from Geneva. But we really are at the base and no snow tops yet.
I've got a one-up on you then.
You've got one-up at the moment, yeah. But I'll tell you what, the autumn colours, the trees... Absolutely wonderful. Very nice, and very nice to be away
absolutely.
From Paris.
I agree that the mountains all look lovely. He's trying to get in on the side and go,
I'm just going to say, yeah, y'all showing off about your mountains, your big girls. I'm been up the Himalayas.
Have you?
Carry on up the Himalayas.
Yes. Yes.
I'm carrying up.
Absolutely. Lee Banks, Himalaya in the mountains. Oh. That didn't go down well, did it?
See, then, I just capped it. Yeah. Get it? Mount it, cap. Yeah.
Never mind.
Sorry, carry on.
Okay, yeah, right. We'll ignore all that completely. Anyway, let's move along. So a sad little bit of news to start off with. Before we do that, though, we must say hi to Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, Audio Boo, you wonderful people on the iPhone, and Androids now as well. Plus, yeah. You stunning people on RCI. No, actually, I'll tell you what, we've got a bit of housekeeping to do first, which I'd like to do first, because there's a load of stuff coming up. So, aka the programme. And we'll start with... No, I'll leave Lee till second because he's going to annoy me. We'll start with Mark because Mark's been very proactive in a programme that's on national television about bailiffs and the like. Now, Mark, give us an update of... and when it's on, please.
Well, there's going to be a very interesting and very shocking documentary programme on ITV1 this coming Monday. That's Monday Halloween, actually. And it's about bailiffs. It's at 10:35 at night, in the evening, and I think it's very suitable for Halloween, because if you get a knock on the door, you can ask yourself, is this trick or treat, or is it the bailiffs? And if it is the bailiffs, well, you'll be sitting in front of your television and you'll be seeing some of the horrors that go on when bailiffs go around to visit ordinary people trying to get money back, which apparently they are owed. And I'm very, very pleased because we were contributing, that when I say we, the Consumer Action Group, has contributed quite a lot of material and information to the program makers. It's resulted in a documentary which is already causing ructions within the industry. In fact, one of the companies has already revealed itself, Rossendale's, a firm of bailiffs who act nationally, who are already trying to distance themselves from the actual bailiffs who were so badly behaved. And we're hoping that it's going to reawaken the call for independent regulation of the bailiff industry, because at the moment it's not regulated. And if you watch the program, maybe you'll decide that, this needs some regulation.
Well, I was going to add to that, Mark, that if somebody... who is watching the programme and is genuinely an innocent bystander of some dastardly deed that's going on, they should also get in touch with the Consumer Action Group via the website. So I think you should give that out now nice and slowly, Mark.
Right. Well, the Consumer Action Group at www.consumeractiongroup.co.uk is a completely free website which offers help and advice to people with all sorts of consumer problems, including bailiff problems. We have a load of horror stories about what happened to people when the bailiffs visited. And if you have some bad experiences, come to us and we will do our best to offer you support, to offer you a bit of company and encouragement, and to offer you a direction to go in.
Can I add at that point that, as well, Mark Lee and I all know, when we do have issues like that from our listeners, they go over to you anonymously, Mark. You still work with them and help them, but we don't declare any of that on the radio, do we?
No, not at all. And in fact, we never know any of the personal details of the people who come to us unless they disclose them to us. We're not even sure that their email addresses are necessarily real email addresses using their name. We have no personal details. We don't make any money out of them. We don't sell their details. We really are, you can scarcely believe it, aren't you? A completely free service. Yeah. And we're just out to try and help people stand up to bullying. One final plug, by the way, is that Also, I was invited recently to become the series editor of a new series of consumer books, consumer guides, and the first one about bailiffs has just been published.
Funny that.
You can get it. Funny that, isn't it? And you can buy that. You can buy that from the Consumer Action Group, or you can buy it from Amazon. If you buy it from Amazon, you'll get it for about £1.50 cheaper, because we can't compete with Amazon on postage. We'd rather you bought it from us, but the most important thing is buy it. It's a new book on bailiffs by John Cruise, and it's a consumer-friendly guide to bailiffs, and it's very thorough.
So if you are being threatened by a company who threatened to send the bailiffs in and you haven't bought something, think you're in dispute, hear those words wisely. The site's there. It does give you advice. I've read through some of the bailiff advice, and it also tells you how to challenge things in a legitimate way to make sure everything's done properly. Because there's a lot of, as Mark quite rightly said, bullying that goes on from less than reputable companies, and whenever we get those details, they do go to other organisations, including national media groups, who will fight for you. So bear that in mind. Now, if you've spent the money, if you bought something, paid for it, that's your problem. If you've done it and then decide, oh, I don't want to pay for it now, one of those stupid things, forget it. That's not where we're at. But it's for people who've done everything from buy cars to timeshares to rents, that sort of thing, where it's all bona fide complaints. They will then help you out a little bit on the way. But do watch that program. What's the date again, Mark?
Yeah, the program is on Halloween. That's the 31st. That's this Monday coming, 10:35 in the evening. And it's bailiffs. It's the last in the series of the Exposure documentaries. There were 6 documentaries called Exposure. This is the last one about bailiffs.
Okay.
Watch it.
Okay, perfect. Now, this is the part of the program where we have a new spot, Mark. So I need your help with this. It's called We Hate Lee.
Why do we hate Lee?
Well, I'm going to ask you the question. Mark, you know there's a sport that I'm quite passionate about. A passionate sport, which Mr. Banks goes on about and goes, they only go, nyeow, 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 and he's always taking the mickey out of me, isn't he?
I'm trying to figure out what that one is.
Formula One.
Oh, Formula One.
Yeah.
What is Formula One? Can anybody help me? Oh, Formula One's what I'm going to tomorrow in Delhi. I'm going to the Delhi Grand Prix. I wonder what it's about. Does it involve bicycles or things like that?
Mark, just a second. Mark, just ask him how come he's got to go to the Indian Grand Prix for nothing.
Lee, how on earth did you manage to pull that one off? How on earth did you manage to get to the Indian Grand Prix for nothing, you lucky, lucky boy?
Because I'm special.
And?
You are, Lee.
And I'm
going to meet... I've been invited by the Indian Tourist Board to come and meet Jason Button, Schumacher,
Jensen
and
Button.
Christine Hamilton.
Yeah, but you can't even drive.
I'm right there.
Well, he can. He can drive us up the wall.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a go. They're lending me a go-kart, and I'm going in the middle. The only problem is, as we all know, on the roads in Delhi, we have this situation where holy cows, are allowed to stride down the middle of the road. And actually, two
don't
weeks
you
ago,
talk about your lady like that. You despicable person.
I want to distance myself from that comment immediately.
You would if you saw her. Oh, no, that's even worse.
So basically what you're saying is you've got into India, and thank you, the Indian Tourist Board. At least you're taking them away from the computer for a few hours, which gives me a respite. You're being taken by the Indian Tourist Board because you're a broadcaster on RTI, and therefore you're going to see Jenson Button at the Grand Prix. Jenson Button, you idiot.
He's not an idiot. How can you say that about
he's
Jason
not.
Button? I think that's terrible. Oh. You just called him. Ladies and gentlemen, I distance myself from that remark, calling Jason Button an idiot.
So is that where you're really going then?
Yep. I'm going. And there is a little bit of controversy about it as well.
Go on then.
Because with the greatest of respect to India, I love India. I never, ever want to come back. But as everybody knows, it does have dirt and dust problems, particularly dust. And that because it's such a massive city with billions and billions of people in it, there is a lot of rubbish. And the government, there is a lot of rubbish on the streets. And the government are working hell for leather to try and clean Delhi up. And they're making inroads all the time. But the problem is that dirt and that dust has already contaminated the track at the Buddha International Circuit.
Yeah, I saw it this morning.
Yeah. So the drivers are a bit worried because I'll tell you what, you only need a little bit of a broken toilet or something in the middle of the track and they're on their own, aren't they?
Mark, don't you despair sometimes?
Where do they go if they want to do a little on the side of the road with the rest of them? No. Where do they go? They have to park the car. And one of those big old cows could get in it, or a pig, or a pack of dogs could drive it off. This could be chaos. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, right.
So forward to it, Eric. And I know, and I.
Right. Anyway, I demand some payment for this, Mr. Banks. And when you go there with your recorder, ask Jenson Button just to say, "Hi, Eric, how are you?" Is that all right? Can you manage that? Probably not, knowing him. So anyway, Lee's off to the Indian Grand Prix, courtesy of just about everybody and their auntie. And Mark and I are doing all the hard work. But we'll carry on working, Lee, just so you can get freebies.
Why did you just do that?
No comment. Let's move on to some news. Sad to start off with. A young lady in Wales has died the day before she would have turned 110 years young. Esther Vickery was born in the year Queen Victoria died and spent most of her life farming in the Swansea area. Well, our thoughts and prayers to all the family, I think, really, guys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really sad. Yeah, the day before her 110th birthday. Now, wasn't that a bit cruel? She could have made it through to her 110th. Just one day, Lord. One day, that's all she needed.
I'm sure he's putting his echo on at that point. True love lasted to the very end. Married for 72 years. You see, I tell you, it's a life sentence.
Well, it was. What was the death sentence? Oh, no, that's insensitive.
That's not nice.
Well, hang on. This is actually a lovely story, I mean, isn't it? I mean, we've got this elderly couple here. What are they? 90, and he was 94, and they died in hospital holding hands 1 hour apart from each other. I mean,
they weren't
really
holding hands
at our
wonderful.
No.
Mm? Norma was 90, Gordon Yeager was 94, and they'd been in a car crash in a place called Marshalltown in Iowa, in America.
Iowa.
I wasn't committing myself to anything by saying that. You just did who or what, right? So, and they were just there, and as they lay, they put them together in the hospital, which I think is really good, and they lay together holding hands, and his heart stopped first. And then an hour later, she went as well. It is. They spend their lives together. I'm a bit of an old curmudgeon when it comes to things like that. And like Eric says, you know, we've all had our hearts broken in the realms of love, haven't we?
We have.
And but for people to be together for 72 years
beautiful.
And to die hand in hand is.
Wow, it's just absolutely astonishing. Let's move on to Slovakia now, where this week. That's a good point. Yes, Ah, good point, he says, because this week we've had Manchester United on a tour for Slovakia, and the young guys have been here, some of which will go forward into premierships and things like that. They've been playing both Poprad, and on Sunday of this week, the Manchester United coaches and the lads were coaching some of the football team, the youngsters from the schools in Poprad. They've also played a team from Moscow, from Mr. Abramovich's academy in Moscow. Luckily for us, Manchester United won 4-3 against Moscow, which was very, very good. Oh dear, what a shame. Better than the first team, who lost 6-1 last weekend. But equally, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, well, just over that now, that there was a terrible tragedy in the KHL, which saw a complete team wiped out. And as a tribute to that particular team, the Manchester United boys were in Poprad and they laid a memorial wreath to one of the Slovak players. And equally, to really share the sad loss between all the three countries, Roy Sloan came out from Cambridge. He is a member, or was a member, of the Black Watch, the 1st Battalion Royal Scots Guards, and he played a lament at the event of laying the wreath, and Roy sounded something like this. That's the lament from the Regiment of the Black Watch, played by Roy Stone in Poprad on Wednesday, and a fabulous event it was as well. Also, I've got to tell you a little funny story on the side of that, because when the team from Moscow the day before were playing a team from Poprad, Roy piped them onto the ground of HK Poprad playing Scotland the Brave. So he was in front, and I have to describe this. So you have to picture the two football teams are in two lines, following Roy as he's playing the pipes. As he gets to the centre circle, they've all fanned out in step with him. They're marching in time with him. As he turns round to finish Scotland the Brave, all the players turn round just at the appropriate moment. Music stops, everybody claps. Absolutely brilliant. Well done, Roy. Super stuff.
That's it.
Absolutely super.
Excellent.
Absolutely so. Let's move on to some more news now. So thank you to Roy, Manchester United, the guys from Moscow, and of course Aqua City and Jan Telensky for bringing them all out here on their training ground as well. Also, I've got to say thanks to Terry, who was absolutely fabulous organising the trip, and also to Paul McGuinness, who actually laid the wreath, and of course his dad was in the plane crash at Munich all those years ago with Manchester United. Anyway, the latest EU bailout has been agreed and sees banks writing, banks have got stuffed here, writing down huge amounts of Greek debt. Mark, this is very much in your court. He's not there now, after all that. Where the French are actually saying that the Greek should not have been allowed into the euro. So the French are upset with the Greeks, aren't they, Mark?
Well, they certainly are, and I mean, I can understand why, because the country with the greatest exposure, or whose banks have got the greatest exposure to Greek debt, are in fact the French. And I can understand that Sarkozy wants to say this, but of course, at the end of the day, the French banks decided that it was good business to start investing in Greece and to start helping them incur their debts. You know, now several years down the line, it doesn't look like such a good idea. And of course, Sarkozy, I suppose, is trying to build in some distance here. Don't forget, he's come up for election next year, so So the first thing is that he's extremely pleased that this deal's been pulled off, because it means that there isn't going to be a massive collapse of the French economy in addition to the euro. But the second thing, of course, is that now he's got to try and explain to his electorate why it isn't the French fault, why it isn't his fault. But of course, it is the French bank's fault. I mean, every bank, you know, that has been affected by the economic crisis has made their own decisions to lend or to lend irresponsibly. But I suppose Sarkozy is now sort of saying, well, it's all of our fault. It's all of Europe's fault. Greece shouldn't have come in the beginning. But I think there's an agenda here.
I think you could well be right. But the markets actually did actually rally at the end of that. And the first one that came through was the Asian market. Jumped 2% in seconds.
Yes.
Seeing some work actually being done for a change.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it does mean, you know, some stability, even though it does mean huge losses for various banks. It does mean stability, and it does mean at the moment it looks as if the system can go on. But of course, there are other countries to worry about. You know, in particular, you've got Italy, which is really sort of unresolved. You've got Portugal and Spain. The crisis is over at the moment, but I don't think it's completely ended.
No, absolutely not.
I don't think the crisis is over, is it? In any other circumstances, this would just be seen as absolutely terrible business practices, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely. Let's move on. We're pleased to say, if you remember about 3-4 months ago, or maybe even longer, that we announced that there was a new boss at Nokia, as Nokia was struggling a bit. And yesterday, they released their new phones in London. Got lovely pictures of them, and we predicted all those months ago that Nokia wouldn't do another phone. The next lot that would come out would be Windows operating systems, and guess what happened yesterday, guys?
Aren't we always right?
Yeah,
exactly.
And as Mark...
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are the ones who are right.
So the old Nokia Symbian system is down. The new one's Windows. And I think it will be quite a good boost for Windows as well, won't it?
Well, Microsoft have been wanting to get into the mobile market for a long time. I mean, they've had their sort of mobile Windows operating system, which really has been on the periphery. Microsoft muscle really hasn't managed to make inroads into this particular market in the way that it's managed to control the operating system market for desktop computers. So I suppose that they're hoping to benefit from Nokia's huge presence in the mobile phone market. And, of course, Nokia are hoping now that there will be a more acceptable operating system for their mobile phone. The Nokia Symbian system has now been dumped. So if you are using
a Nokia system, as Mark's just been dumped as well. That wasn't me, boys and girls. That was Mark. I think his connection to the Alps is a bit suspect today. So we'll carry on regardless. But anyway, the new Nokia phones are out. They do look kind of good. The spec on them is kind of good as well. And I just see it just makes such logical sense that Nokia have gone with the Microsoft system. But, you know, there you go. That's the way things are. We move on to the final story of part one, as we're nearly through it already. A hero soldier who was hailed the Lion of England after being shot down in Afghanistan has had his final pay packet docked by MOD penny pinchers.
I think this is absolutely shameful, don't you? I just think, if you think this bloke had put his life, had actually died on behalf of this country. And because he died 10 days before his payday, they docked his wages, which is just unbelievable. They actually took an overpayment of £433 off him. Unbelievable. Mm. What kind of country are we that actually does this to the people that we sent out to die for us?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, anyway, he was in Helmand in August 2010, protecting a traditional meeting between Afghan elders and the troops. And he was just one of those regular guys that does a regular job, and the government has to penny pinch over that. I think Ministry of Defence, wake up. Smell the coffee and just give them the money back and stop whinging about it.
And also, just think about the fact that his parents, Tony and Sheila, had raised more than £10,000 for the son's regiment, the Dukes of Lancaster.
Yes.
And they didn't turn that down, did they? No, they still got that in their pocket.
Absolutely.
The Ministry of Defence have got a really serious problem, because this kind of behaviour, this penny-pinching behaviour, is not untypical. I think we hear about this kind of thing regularly, about money being clawed back or expenses being cut down. I mean, I don't think people really realise that when these guys go out to places like Afghanistan and fighting, the actual sort of note or reductions are made in, for instance, in their sort of lodging money or in their food money, what have you, because they're being paid out. It really is penny-pinching. And the Ministry of Defence, I think, really needs to think about getting a publicity company.
Well, yes, I agree. And the other thing I would say, guys, is that in terms of how much money they clawed back, i.e. yeah. 400 quid.
400 quid, yeah.
Yeah, it will actually mean that to raise the paperwork inside the MOD and all the other relevant payments backwards and forwards, da-di-da-di-da, they're probably going to spend £432.13 out of £433.13 just sort of hanging it, getting the money back. So it's actually a false economy to try and get it
it's
back.
It's a ludicrous economy, yeah.
Listen
to this. Here's a very quick one on the same subject, or allied to this subject. Before I came out to stay in India, as we all know, that they've been cutting back on troops, haven't they?
Yes.
You know, the British government have been cutting back on troops. And while they're cutting back on troops, there were a series of adverts on tellies, recruitment ads for troops. Unbelievable.
No, that advertising campaign was for the TA, not the regular forces.
No, this was the regular forces.
I think you'll find it was a TA. But equally, they do continue, the government, to advertising things like that because it actually it keeps a lot of commercial organisations afloat. The amount of money the government spends on advertising, they can't afford to stop it. Let's just remind you, boys and girls, that currently Mark is in the Alps, which is why occasionally we are losing him a little bit. And equally, Lee is in India. I'm in Slovakia, you try working that lot out. And that's Postcard from Pubbred. Ken Clark's having another Barney in the England as we end the first half of the programme about knives and crooks and stuff.
Well, I think here, again, Kenneth Clark, he's got a fetish about knives, hasn't he? This is a strange man.
Why?
Ken Clark is a strange man.
No, I agree. If you get caught for a knife crime...
No, listen, he's the man who said you can stab a burglar, so what's all Britain doing now? Going out and stabbing burglars. Now, he said that if you get done for a knife crime and you're over 18, yes, the law says go straight to jail, you get a 6 months mandatory sentence. But if you're a juvenile, if you're under 18, the chances are you won't get a jail sentence. And that ties in with the facts. What's the difference if you get stabbed by a juvenile or an 18-year-old? But the difference is that 40% of all knife crimes are carried out in this country, in the UK, by people who are under the age of 18. Mm. It's ludicrous. The man's lost his marbles.
You don't like him,
yeah,
then?
I think that people of this young age, I don't think they really understand the shocking damage that you can cause by a stab wounds. And I think it does need to be treated very, very severely.
Yeah, but hang on. It's Ken Clark we're talking about. Doesn't he understand what damage that could be done by knife wounds? What a stupid man!
Yes, I suppose he's trying to take a balanced view and trying to sort of, you know, think, well, maybe people of a certain age shouldn't actually be held in custody. But I have to say
he could well be allowed to hold the knife.
He could well be wrong here.
Okay, we've got to leave it there, boys and girls. That's the end of part one. We'll be back in part two. You go make that cup of tea or a milkshake or even a burger.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.